Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate so much you tuning in. We hope that you listen for the duration of the program, for it is our purpose to speak only those things found in God's holy and inspired Word. If at any time you have a question about something that we say on the program, maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject and you'd like for us to spend time and study it on the program, let us hear from you. You can contact us at the address given by the announcer or contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastalbertville.org. This morning at 9:30, the East Abbotville Church of Christ will come together for a period of Bible study at 5 o'clock this evening, and also 7 o'clock on Wednesday evening. We urge you to come and to be present, bring your Bibles, and study with us God's Word. If it's at all impossible for you to be able to come to the building, we urge you to keep in mind that if you log on to eastalbertville.org at those times, you can both see and hear either the Bible study or the worship period. So keep these in mind. And also today, this evening at 8 o'clock, on this radio station, WBSA, Pat Donahue will conduct Bible Crossfire, a live call-in radio program. You can call in your Bible question. He'll give you his phone number. You can speak directly to him and give him your Bible question, and in return, expect only a Bible answer. If you're incapable of being able to pick up WBSA at 8 o'clock and have satellite radio capability, tune your radio to channel 131 on satellite Sirius XM radio at 8 o'clock. Please keep these things in mind. We urge you to do so. A preacher friend of mine recently shared with me something that I think is a real commentary on modern-day religion in America. He was at his study one day when the phone rang. It was a sales lady from some church supply place. She asked if he might be interested in purchasing some vending machines. He replied, "No, ma'am. This is a church." Then she asked if they might could use some exercise equipment. He replied, "No, ma'am. This is a church." And she moved on to something else that was of a social or recreational nature. And he replied, "Madam, I'm not sure you understand what I'm saying. This is a church." And she said, "Yes, sir, I know, but a lot of places need these things." And he replied, "Well, they may need them, but we will not, because this is a church." Could it be that there is someone in the radio audience that you are looking for a church that is still just a church? Maybe you're looking for such because in reading your Bible, you've noticed that churches were just churches. In 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15, the Bible teaches that the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. A pillar is a support. The ground is that which lays underneath. And so here is the church being the ground and the pillar, and on top is the truth that the church is supporting. So the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. And we know that God's wisdom has been made known by or through the church. In Ephesians chapter 3, it says in verse 10, "To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places." God intended for the church to manifest his wisdom The church can only do that when it goes according to the things that God wants it to do. So to manifest God's wisdom, the church is going to have to do what God wants it done. If the church turns into something that becomes to be toward whatever pleases us, then it may be manifesting man's wisdom, but it's not manifesting God's wisdom. Man and God are two different things. And Isaiah 55 says that the ways of man are not the ways of God, neither are the thoughts of men the thoughts of God. So it is. God wants the church to remain simply a church, a place where the emphasis is solely on His Word, teaching lost souls, and helping Christians to grow into greater Christ-likeness. You see, friends, nowhere in the Bible do we find churches making it their mission to provide social or recreational activities for its members. Churches were just churches. They were not centers for games, although games were a big part of the Roman world in the first century. If a sales lady called the church at Corinth, or the church at Ephesus, or maybe even the church at Philippi, to sell recreational things, would they need them? You know, I think we all know the answer to that question. We're not surprised, however, that hordes of people would be drawn to such, for Jesus had to deal with the same problem. Crowds came looking for wrong things, and that caused him to make a statement that we read about in John chapter 6. We find in the 6th chapter of John that Jesus feeds the 5,000. And we find that in verse 27, he saw that these people, when he had fed them, they followed him. And they found him on the other side of the sea, to where Jesus had went. And they asked him in verse 25, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus made a statement in verse 26, "Most assuredly I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled." Now, listen to verse 27. Again, Jesus still doing the speaking. "Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to everlasting life, which the Son of God will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him." When the crowd realized that his emphasis was spiritual food, not the continuation of this physical food, notice what they did in verse 66. And they said, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. And it was then that Jesus said to the 12, "Did you also want to go away?" But Peter, we know, refused to leave because Jesus had all that he needed. Peter made the statement in verse 68, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Jesus simply offered the words of eternal life. So then, as more and more churches enter into this recreational realm, and certainly they draw huge crowds, others still could be tempted to follow the same course. A church which decides to be simply what God made it to be may be looked upon as old-fashioned, out of date, out of step with the times. But friends, the local church, as designed by Jesus, will never be able to compete with churches that appeal with social gospels, but neither does she need to try. She needs to be content to be what Christ made her to be, and that is a church. You know, I want to be a part of a church like that. Oh, I enjoy meals in the homes of my brothers and sisters. That's what we read about in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 22, and also verse 34. And I enjoy recreational things, but when it comes time to gather together as a church, like what's mentioned in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 18, I want it to be simply that. So may we always be able to say, this is a church. And in doing so, we will please Christ, who built his church to be a church. Church just ain't what it used to be. Well, that was a comment someone made. And she just couldn't believe some of the things that were being done in the assemblies of the church where she attended. And she's right, you know. What we find in many churches ain't what it used to be. Now, I don't know exactly how far back she's going for her comparison, but I would urge that we go all the way back to the New Testament, to the beginning. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 24, John makes this statement, "Therefore let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father." The beginning of which John is speaking of here is the beginning of the church, the beginning that we read about in Acts chapter 2. There we see, until that time, every reference made to the church was always referred to in the future. In Matthew 16:18, when Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church," that word "will" shows and indicates future events, future action. But it's in Acts 2 that Peter preaches the first gospel sermon after the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord. And upon the conclusion of that sermon, people were asking what they must do. They were realizing that this Jesus that they had crucified was not a blasphemer. He was not an imposter. He was not a deceiver, as they had some originally thought that he was. But truly, through the things that Peter had preached and the evidence that Peter had set forth, convinced them that this Jesus whom they had crucified, God has now made to be both Lord and Christ. So when Peter gave answer to their question of what they must do to repent and be baptized, then we see that they that gladly received his word were baptized, and there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Repentance and baptism was for the remission of sins, for the forgiveness of sins, to save them from sin. And so it is in verse 47 that the Lord added to the church daily those that were being saved. Now, for the first time, the word church is being used in a present existence. In Acts 2, we see the church is in existence. And so this is the beginning that John is talking about here in 1 John 2 and verse 24. "Let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning abides in you, you will abide in the Son and in the Father." So let us urge all of us to go back to the New Testament, to go back to that beginning. What's done in the assembly of many churches today hardly resembles what was done by the churches that we read about in the New Testament. And that really ought to bother us. These churches were taught the commandments of the Lord. Paul made that statement in writing to the church at Corinth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, notice what we read in verse 37. Paul said, "If anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are the commandments of the Lord." So the churches taught the commandments of the Lord. So what they did in obedience to the Lord is what we ought to do today. Are we interested in doing it His way or our own way? You see, that's what it really boils down to. There are various passages throughout the New Testament that speak of a local church coming together for worship. While here in 1 Corinthians, let's back up to chapter 11. And there's in verse 17, let's read. Now, in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together, not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and in part I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. So we see the point being this, that the church in Corinth, certainly we see it was their practice to come together as the church. And then where we were just a moment ago, in the 14th chapter, notice what we read here in verse 23. He says, therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are uninformed or unbelievers, will they not say that you are out of your mind? Drop down to verse 26. How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edifying. And then we, of course, are, I think, familiar with that passage of Scripture in Hebrews 10 and verse 25, when it says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. So again, what we see in these passages throughout the New Testament, these are verses that speak of the local church coming together for worship. We know that they met regularly on the first day of the week, because in 1 Corinthians 16, Paul said, as I gave orders to the churches of Galatia, even so did you. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by in stores God has prospered, that there be no gatherings when I come. We see the same is true in Acts 20 and verse 7 concerning the church in Troas, that it was upon the first day of the week that the disciples gathered together to break bread, that is, to observe the Lord's Supper. So we know that they met regularly on the first day of the week, and we know, too, that they met sometimes on other days of the week. For instance, in Acts 2, there at verse 46, it says, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. And then later on in chapter 19, at verse 9, but when some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. But exactly what did they do when they came together? Let's understand this point first. There was a distinction made between what was done in church and at home. We see this clearly defined in 1 Corinthians 11. It's there in verse 34 that it says, but if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment, and the rest I will set in order when I come. And then another passage in 1 Corinthians 14. Notice here what we read in verse 35. And if they want to learn something, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is shameful for women to speak in church. So let no one argue that anything goes as long as it's done to the glory of God. So often that's the justification offered for things that are outlandish in what some churches are engaged in. But friends, there's a difference in what we do in the church and what we do in our homes. So, Let's first look at some things they did on a regular basis in their worship to God. First of all, they engaged in the teaching and in the studying of God's Word. There, on that occasion when the gospel was first preached, and when people for the first time were obeying the gospel to have the forgiveness of their sins, it says in Acts 2 and verse 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayer. Later on, as the gospel continues to spread, we read in Acts chapter 11 and verse 26, this is concerning Paul being found by Barnabas. It says, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. In the 15th chapter of Acts, it's in verse 30 that we begin reading these words. So when they were sent off, they came to Antioch. And when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the letter. When they had read it, they rejoiced over its encouragement. Now Judas and Silas, themselves being prophets, also exhorted and strengthened the brethren with many words. And after they had stayed there for a time, they were sent back with greetings from the brethren to the apostles. However, it seemed good to Silas to remain there. Paul and Barnabas also remained in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of God with many others also. So we see then, and we could use other passages, Acts 20 and verse 7 that we quoted a moment ago. It was upon the first day of the week in Troas that the disciples came together to observe the Lord's Supper. We see then that they engaged in the teaching and in the studying of God's Word, because there in Acts 20 and verse 7, Paul preached to them. Paul spoke to them because he was going to depart the next day. The statement is made that he continued his speech until midnight. The second thing we find that the church did on a regular basis was they sang psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. In 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 15, it says, let us sing with the Spirit, let us sing with the understanding also. Ephesians 5, verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. And Colossians 3 and verse 16 says the same thing of what we just quoted in Ephesians 5 and verse 19. And then there's that passage in Hebrews 2 where it says in verse 11, for both he that sanctifies and those that are being sanctified are of one. For which reason he did not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you. We see also that on a regular basis they prayed together. We saw that in Acts 2 and verse 42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in prayer. And we find in 1 Corinthians 14 the same thing that says concerning singing with the Spirit and understanding also says to pray with the Spirit and with the understanding. Also, they gave money to aid in the Lord's work. This was what was commanded in 1 Corinthians 16. It had been commanded to the churches of Galatia, and now Paul is commanding the same thing to the church at Corinth. That is to be upon the first day of the week that Christians are to lay by in store as God has prospered them. And they ate the Lord's Supper. That is, as we see in Acts 2 and verse 42, they continued in the breaking of bread. And that's what the church in Troas did when they assembled upon the first day of the week to break bread in Acts 20 and verse 7. Now, please observe in your study of these verses that two of these activities were limited to the first day of the week. That was giving and the eating of the Lord's Supper. But we know that there were other things they did on a regular basis as the need called for it. Brethren were sometimes informed of the destitute needs of other brethren, like in Acts 11 that took place there in the matter of the church at Antioch. It said, when the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God, then we find that verse 27 says, that in those days prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch. And one of them named Agabus stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all of the world, which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. And this they also did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. We also see that they met when the reports came of the work and the efforts of the preaching of the gospel had been given. We see that in Acts chapter 14, there at about verse 27. This was Paul and Barnabas returning from their first missionary journey. They had left on that journey from Antioch. Now they were finished that journey and had returned back to Antioch. And verse 27 of Acts 14 says, "And when they had come and gathered the church together, they reported all that God had done with them and that he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles." We see that elders were appointed in that second journey in Acts 14 and verse 23 when they went back over those same churches that had been established in the first missionary journey. Now we see they appoint elders in those churches. So, two, another thing that was done was discipline called for the church to come together. Discipline was administered to the member there in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 5 that was guilty of fornication. And it says, "When you are therefore gathered together to deliver such a one unto Satan." And so, you know, when you look over this list again, perhaps we've missed some activity in our study, but the point is we can easily see the spiritual nature of all of these activities, do we not? Here's the problem. Many churches today have become more concerned with entertaining than edifying. They become more concerned with feeding bellies than feeding souls. Are people's needs really different than they were in New Testament times? Someone has got to take a stand. Someone has got to point people back to the Bible, to the very words of Jesus Christ himself. Maybe that someone is you. As our time draws near, keep in mind the services at the East Alpable Church of Christ this morning at 9:30 for the Bible study, 10:30 for the worship period, this evening at 5 o'clock, also Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock for Bible study. Tonight at 8 o'clock, Pat Donahue will present Crossfire, a Bible call-in radio program, a live program that you can call in your Bible questions. That's tonight at 8 o'clock, and if you're incapable of getting this radio station, then if you have satellite radio, tune to channel 131 on Sirius XM. If you're completely incapable of coming to the services, log on to eastalbertville.org at the times that we've mentioned, and you can both see and hear the Bible classes as well as the worship period. You can also do the same on Facebook and also on the church's YouTube channel. Keep this in mind. We see your time is gone. Thank you so much for listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow, and it's till then that we bid you a pleasant good day. And now we return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 AM and Sunday at 8:30 AM. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 AM for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastalbertville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.